the fulfillment of God's purpose for you. It's a revelation of your purpose. It's dangerous for you to have come here today. You know God's purpose for you in your life. They were consecrated. They were washed. They were sanctified. They fasted from sex for 3 days. They restrained themselves in purity and in preparedness for the Lord's arrival. Three days later, you decide, is that significant? 3 days later, they assemble at the base of the mountain. And suddenly, the mountain is surrounded by a cloud. There is thunder, lightning, smoke, deafening blasts of trumpets. And everyone trembles. Maybe it sounded something like this. You have no idea how nervous I was about doing that. The presence of the Lord descends, and the people trembled with fear, and they kept their distance. Here's your next one. Respect my presence. You must respect my authority. Right? Respect my presence. You think that this kind of an experience would have rattled them to their core. You would think that that kind of experience and remembering what God has done and seeing how powerful He is, the holy nation would keep pure and stay free from sin within 40 days. I don't know, 40 days significant? Within 40 days. There would be an orgy in front of a golden calf. Now, I know some of you might think, well, 40 days, that's such a short period of time. Some of you won't make it out of the parking lot today. What's up with that idiot? Why is he driving so slow? You can't take a left here. What's wrong with these people? You won't make it out of the parking lot. Standing in awe of God is one thing. Submission of your will is completely another. God set this covenant, and it didn't take long for humans to break it. God laid out the 10 suggestions for you. Did you know the 10 commandments are kind of, you can kind of preach on them and divide them up into two different parts. The first four, the commandments, regard man's relationship to God. And the next six regards man's relationship to other humans. We're to discover how we are to relate to God. And we are to discover how we are to relate to others that are around us. And we need to understand the implications of the 10 suggestions for you today. Are they meaningless? That's Old Testament. That's outdated. Are they, you know, not apply to you? I'm not Jewish. Well, you know, Jesus did away with the law. Jesus said this. Jesus' words. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices them and whoever teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, I brought you out, remember, so that you might have a special purpose. I have plans for you. And I gave you then the 10 impossibilities. What do we do with this 10 commandments? We know we can't keep them. Nobody in here has. Well, we're to use them like a mirror. There's your next one. As a mirror. The law functions to reveal to the Israelites, to you, the sinfulness of who you are. By striking a contrast between the standards of a holy God and you. Think of the holiness of heaven. No death, no pain, no tears. And you think somehow you get there and earn it somehow. Somehow you think you're good enough by some stretch of your humanness to be able to inhabit the holiness and the righteousness and the purity of heaven. You're not. Not even close. And God knows this. And so he says, here's a mirror. Look at that. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world is guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's Romans 3, 19 and 20. The law, the knowledge of sin. Paul says that the law does not make anyone right because no one can do it. but rather the law is the knowledge of your sinfulness. He's not saying that the law makes us sinners. It's not what he's saying. He's saying the law reveals that you're a sinner. See, the mirror does not make the pimple on your nose. It only reveals you got a pimple on your nose. You understand? The law doesn't, it just reveals that you can't. And you need a holy and a righteous and a redeeming and a graceful and a merciful and a compassionate God. And he is. This is what he says to you over and over and over and over again. I love you. I've taken away all your sins, consecrated you, and washed you clean. If you, then I will. And we need to remember, watch, listen. The law was given to the redeemed people. These people have been called out. They've been brought out. They've been rescued. God's working in their lives. They'd already been freed from slavery. It was not given in order to put them in bondage. The law doesn't bring them out and then hang a millstone around their neck. These people are already within God's graces. You are already within God's graces, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. You see it? Why? Why? To keep you in his graces. To keep you in his mercy. To keep you in alignment with who he is. That you would continue to depend on him. Continue to look toward him. To continue to desire redemption and reconciliation. Because you know you're not doing it and you can't do it. But he forgives and he loves and he cares and he honors. And he's given that to a redeemed, called out, special people. The world has no interest. I promise you, they have no interest. Why? Because it's not just a mirror. Here's your next one and your last one. It's a compass. It's a compass. It gives them direction. It gives them guidance and guidelines. God has given his law to let man know what is right and what is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Why is that wrong? Well, because God said so. Lying is wrong. Why? Well, because God said it's wrong. Adultery is wrong. Well, why is that? Because God said it was wrong. See, it's a moral compass. Or get ready, watch. People don't really want a moral compass. They don't. They want to live how they want, when they want, where they want, because that's what they think is freedom. They don't want guidance from a God, or they don't want moral guidelines from a God. They certainly don't want a mirror to show them all the pimples on their face. Whoa, no, I just don't believe in that God, therefore I don't have pimples. Don't show me that mirror. I don't need that moral compass. And then what is a moral? You decide. Murder's okay then. Adultery's fine then. I think God saw men and women continually ruining their lives. Over and over and over again. Beautiful creation of you ruining their lives over and over and over. Enslaving themselves back into sin. and enslaving themselves back into the consequences of sin. And so he summarized some life-guiding principles so that we might live in harmony, that there might be some order and structure to our society and to our fellowship, some kind of direction, some kind of mirror, some kind of compass that we might all be able to follow along. And in many ways, it's the Bible, right? B-I-B-L-E, right? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Here you go. Everything you're going to want to know about your purpose and why I created you and brought you to myself, why you're listening to this message today. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, are slowly eradicating God's life-directing principles right out of our country, right out of our homes. And we can see and feel the effects. And this presents some serious challenges for each and every one of you. It presents some serious challenges. Are you going to be a follower of Christ? Or will your government dictate your faithfulness? You are free to practice your religion, any religion you so desire, with or without pretty much a moral compass. The government's not going to promote one God over another God. You are free to do that which you desire to do. So, what do you desire to do? What do you desire to do? Whom will you follow? Whom will you witness? Does it matter that the government doesn't promote the Ten Commandments? Does it matter to your faith that the government is with you?